Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have once again as our co-host, T-Essence Mack. Hey, T-Essence.
Hey, Matthew. Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Yeah, great to see you again. What do we got planned today?
So today, for Homeschool News, we are going to continue talking about the Thrive Homeschool Conference. And for Homeschool Conversations, we are going to listen to a conversation that you had with Larry Cockerham, who was a pioneering homeschooler here in North Carolina and helped NCHE in its early days. So that's going to be cool. And then with Amanda, Homeschool Helps Today, she will continue her discussion from last week and give you encouragement when you're pulling a student out of school in the middle of the school year and beginning your homeschool journey. So the Thrive NCHE Homeschool Conference, somehow it is already coming back again. It's so exciting.
That's right.
It will be this year from May 23rd to May 25th, and registration is open. We will be announcing all of our speakers and workshops this week, and early bird prices are available until February 29th. So you can go to nche.com/thrive. And I promise you, you don't want to miss it. If you've already been, you already know you don't want to miss it. So go ahead and get those early registration prices.
Yeah. And this is really an exciting part. People love to see who's going to be speaking.
Yes.
And what are all the workshop titles and the schedule, and it's all going to be released this week. So you want to go ahead and check that out, so you can see that the specific things that you're looking for, the problems that you're asking, you're going to be able to see that they're being addressed. And of course, we already knew what our main featured speakers, who they were going to be, but now we're going to get all the workshop speakers. So super exciting. All right. One of the other things that's going to happen, not just at the conference, but we're going to be thinking about all year, is that this is the 40th anniversary of NCHE. It was 1984 when NCHE started. And so here we are 40 years later, and homeschooling is stronger than ever. And we're going to be celebrating homeschooling. We're going to be celebrating all that's happened through NCHE. One of the things we're going to be doing this year is talking to those who helped get it going. So it'll be really inspiring to hear from the pioneers who helped establish homeschooling, and also to talk to some who helped establish NCHE and helped lead it in its early years. So I had a conversation, as T-Essence said, with Larry Cockerham, and he was one of the ones who was there at the beginning. So we're excited to hear about his view of that time. So let's take a look at that. We're really privileged today to talk to Larry Cockerham. He is one of the original folks who helped establish homeschooling and North Carolinians for Home Education. And so we just want to learn a little more about the early days. So Larry, why don't you just tell me, how did you start thinking about homeschooling at all, or deciding to homeschool in your home?
We moved from Tennessee to North Carolina. I took a position as a professor at Campbell University in Buies Creek, North Carolina. And we moved there in 1981. And our two children were enrolled in Buies Creek Elementary School, and they were in, I believe, kindergarten, first grade, so they started school there in Buies Creek Elementary. But we began to notice some problems. The problems that we saw were the teaching of witchcraft, and we found that there were library books available 1 foot off the floor in the library for kindergarten kids teaching about witchcraft. And
oh my goodness.
We approached the librarian about it, and they were not amenable at all to any comments from the community about the contents of their library. We all know the American Library Association still holds firmly that every literature, every piece of literature should be available to everyone, regardless of their age and regardless of the content of the material. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do any good there. We also had another problem, and that was that the school mascot for the school was demons. And they would have pep rallies. All the kids would be brought into the gym, and they would be taught to say, "We love you, demons. We love you, demons." We didn't like that. We went to the principal, and the principal said, "Well, it wasn't her decision, and she didn't have any control over that. And if we wanted to, we could opt our children out of pep rallies." So we did that, and they sat in the principal's office and felt punished not going, you know, to go to the principal's office was, and be sitting in the principal's office for little kids. It wasn't good. So by the end of that school year, we knew we had to do something. And so we looked into trying to find private schools that we could do in our area. And it just wasn't, it wasn't really possible for us. So I think it was that summer that I heard Focus on the Family interview with James Dobson and Raymond Moore. So I went home and told my wife about it, and she said, "Wow, that's crazy. I don't think we could do that." And so I said, "Well, let's look into it." And we did. And again, feel convicted that that was the place that we should go for schooling our kids. My wife also is an educator with a certified teacher and graduate school and all of that. I have a PhD myself. Mm-hmm. And, so we thought, well, there won't be any problem with our education. Having a certified mm-hmm. teacher and all our educational credentials. So anyway, we started. We named our school. We began to get calls from the principal of Buies Creek Elementary, and then we got visits from the visit to our home, where the principal knocked on our door and told us what we were doing was illegal. So I called the county school superintendent and asked him, "Would you allow me to bring my children?" I'm so sorry, but I feel the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He said, "No way." I said, "I'd like to show you their California mm-hmm. achievement test scores and like to show you the curriculum we're using." He said, "No, I'm not interested. What you're doing is illegal." And so then the truant officer came and threatened us. Sorry, it was a difficult time.
I bet.
Especially for my wife and children. As I said, we lived right next door to the elementary school.
Okay.
So we felt that we had to keep our children inside during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got a word from one of the law professors at Campbell University that he had heard word that there was a threat against us.
At this point in the interview, Larry explains that they heard another set of homeschooling parents had been arrested. The police had showed up at their house at 10 o'clock in the night, woken up the whole family, and arrested the parents right in front of the children. The children were then put into state custody. The law professor at the school where Larry was, said that they would probably be taking some kind of legal action against the Cochrans as well. So Larry's wife and children went into hiding.
So you were told that by someone at the school, and you kept doing it, huh?
Yeah, we did. crazy probably, but we kept doing it. And my wife is really the hero in the story. And
where did they hide? And just in the house there, or?
Well, they did at first, but then they, we have other relatives in North Carolina.
They okay.
visit other relatives, and they were gone, especially during the daytime when we thought they might do something. They were back and forth. But so anyway, I called, we had a friend who was the deputy sheriff, and I called her and I said, I've heard that there could be some criminal action coming against my wife and me. I'd like to know if you might be able to, if you see anything like that, if you might be able to inform me so that I could, so that I could turn myself in. So that it wouldn't be arrested.
Right. Right.
He said, I will. If I see anything, I'll inform you. It was only a few days later that she called and said, I have a criminal summons for you and your wife. I said, well, may I come and turn myself in? She said, yes, actually, you will not be arrested, but you will be given a criminal summons that you'll have to appear in court. She said, you're being charged with child abuse. But I want to tell you that I'm sorry, I can never tell this story. You know, I don't want to. I don't want to present myself in any heroic way. I was scared. I was praying. So, but when I went to the sheriff's office, there was an incredible peace from God that came over me, and I left her office and. Went back by my office at the university and did a few things. I didn't know, you know, if I'd be back on Monday. This was on Friday. So then I went home and I called the school superintendent. I had talked with him a few times before and begged him to allow me to present to my children curriculum and test scores and so anyway, I called him, and his name was Mr. Gray. I said, Mr. Gray, you know, I've just gotten this criminal summons and feel that it's a mistake. And I want to know if you would withdraw this action. He said, well, yeah, I know it. I know it's a mistake now. But it's your fault. And I said, well, would you withdraw the charges that you're bringing against my wife and me? And he said, yes, I'll withdraw the charges. And so it was confusing. So immediately I called the deputy sheriff. And she said, you won't believe what happened. She said, just the moment you left my office, Mr. Gray called and said, has Dr. Cochran picked up that criminal summons yet? And she said, yes, he just picked it up. And he said, oh no, this is horrible. He said, the governor's office called and said, leave him, leave Cochran. I don't know who that was. I didn't know anyone in the governor's office. An angel impersonator. I don't know. Who called him from the governor's office, but
wow,
they did, and it was an answer to our prayers. God had answered our prayers, and the action they stopped the action against us.
As a new homeschooler, it is always so amazing to me to hear how NCHE was there at the beginning, and just giving all the respect and gratitude towards all of you, from Larry Cochran to everybody else, the Masons I know were there, and NCHE for allowing us new families to just walk into really a smooth, paved, gated, flowery road here homeschooling in North Carolina. And so for me, on behalf of all the other new homeschoolers, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. We are continuing to talk about pulling someone out of school to homeschool. And I wanted to, in this second segment about that, really just encourage you, because a lot of times, and I was like this as well, I am really an idealistic person. So I had this picture in my mind of what homeschool would look like and how my children, especially the one we were pulling out of school to homeschool, how they would react, and they would just love it. And we would be so happy and every day was going to be wonderful. And that's just not reality. That's just not reality. Every day is not going to be wonderful. Even if you are so excited about starting homeschool, even if your student is so excited about starting homeschool, there still are going to be hard days. It's a big transition. It's a transition, not just of your schedule, not just of your house. It's a whole different thing having people in your house all the time. But mentally, it's a transition. Emotionally, it's a transition. It's a different thing. Homeschool, while it is an educational choice, it is so much more than that. It is a whole lifestyle. And this transition to this new lifestyle can take time before everybody just settles in comfortably. And there can be some bumps along that road. When we first started homeschooling, number one, my husband was not super supportive at that time. He is now, but at that time, he was not super supportive. Hence the idea of, we are only going to homeschool for a year and then we plan to put her back. Number two, my oldest daughter hated and still does change of any sort. Even if it was positive change, she hated it because change is bad. It's hard for her. It's very difficult. So even though this was a good change in her life and it was for good reasons, she still had a hard time. And because she was having a hard time, I was having a hard time. That whole first year, people would ask her, as they do, oh, do you like homeschooling? And for an entire year, she would answer every single time, oh no, I hate it. Yes. So I'm going to do a segment at some point on the idea of, do your children, should they have input into the decision to homeschool or not? But that's neither here nor there. My point is that first year can be hard. It can be. That doesn't mean that you're making a mistake. It's a big transition. So give yourself, give your student, give the rest of your family a lot of grace. Try your hardest not to overschedule yourself, which can be super hard. The temptation to fill your schedule is a big one. I know I tend to lean that way myself, but please don't do it. Leave as much room as possible in your schedule. And try your hardest to understand both your student and yourself that this is a huge change. It's a huge change. And like I said, it's not just the physical change of, now we are educating at home versus educating in a brick and mortar building, but it's also a huge mental, emotional shift. So give yourself grace. It will get better. It will get easier. You will settle in and be so comfortable. It will be a blessing, I believe, in the long run, because you pulled them out for a reason. You started this homeschool journey for a reason. So if those reasons are good and right, and I believe they are, for all of you that are watching this video, then hang on to that. Hang on to that. When it's those hard days, don't assume, don't have that knee-jerk reaction of, oh, I've made a terrible mistake and now I need to put them back in school. No, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. So that's my best encouragement advice for you as far as pulling someone out of school. You need to give yourself grace. Allow time and space for that transition, not just a physical transition, but a mental, emotional transition as well. Like I said in the last segment, seek out support. That is invaluable. But it's going to be great, I promise. Here we are 19 years later and we never stopped. That girl who told everybody for a year that she hated homeschooling, she did years later graduate from our homeschool and was so thankful. We both were so thankful for those years that we had together in homeschooling. So just because it's bumpy at the beginning doesn't mean that it's bad or the wrong choice. It will end up okay. All right. I really hope this helps today.
And thanks to all of you for joining us this week. We would love to hear from you. Any comments or any feedback, please visit us and send it to thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. And if you believe this information would be inspiring or encouraging to your family, your friends, or anyone you know, please share.
That's right. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.